Good morning, church, and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. For those of you who are just tuning in, my name is Jeff Glenn, and I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and it's my pleasure and privilege to take you through the Word and share a little bit of encouragement this morning. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your Word, that it's instructive, it's encouraging, Lord, and it gives us what we need to follow you. And so we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, we got a brief overview of John's first letter, and then we did a one-off, and so we're back in the first epistle of John here. And you know, previously we saw John's intensity, right, as one of the sons of thunder, as Jesus called him. Jesus noted their intensity. They wanted to call down thunder and lightning on a city that had not shown them hospitality. And so Jesus noted that. He doesn't change his intensity or his zeal as he grows in the Lord, but he does change his focus. And that's what we'll see as we go through this first letter here that he wrote. And we can see that even in his opening first four verses here. So let's read those. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of the Lord, concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested with us, that which we have seen and which we have heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy might be full. And so, as we talked about previously, we see from Scripture that John and his brother James, they were focused on self-promotion. They wanted in this life to be promoted to Jesus' right and left hand, right? They grew up in Israel. They obviously knew of the Old Testament prophecies of a coming Messiah. However, they were living in a time when there had been no new revelation from God for about 400 years. And so in that void, human nature took over. And so it's no surprise that John had different ideas about who this coming Messiah would be and what his kingdom would look like, right? And so as we're reading through his letter, we see, which was written many years after Jesus' death and ascension, rather than he and James co-ruling in the new kingdom, they're now being persecuted. And so slowly, one by one of them would be imprisoned or at the very least ran out of town. And in the case of Stephen, we see that he was stoned to death. And yet, John, who he's just as intense, just as zealous as he was before, but now he's zealous for a kingdom to come, right? His focus had shifted from himself to Christ. And these opening verses are full of the truth that it will take a while to unpack, right? But we're going to try to take a quick overview here. So John is talking about Jesus in ways that he never saw him until after the resurrection, right? So he says here, that which was from the beginning. So it's interesting to me that John chose this way to describe Jesus. Why didn't he just say he who was from the beginning? And I think the key lies in the rest of the letter. So John will go on to outline Jesus' supreme nature in the rest of this letter. And in his gospel, when we cross-reference the gospel, we'll see that John has developing this deep, theologically rich Christology, this understanding of who Christ is and his complex nature and character. So he'll go to lengths to assert his credibility to those he's writing to as an eyewitness of Christ, which is also interesting because he's not only attesting to his own credibility as eyewitness, he's attesting to the credibility of others. And it's remarkable because By this time, it's likely that his brother James and Peter had already been martyred, right? As we see even from Stephen. So rather than distance himself from these men and their witness to reduce the possibility of his own persecution, he solidifies his witness with theirs, right? And so he wants it known that these are the things that they have seen. And so he goes on to detail his experiences with the hope, right, that it would encourage those who had not personally experienced these things, right, those who had not personally experienced Jesus. And so we see that John, in this opening here, is relaying to us, right, his comprehension of Jesus as eternal, one who's credited with the creation of all things. And as he would also note in his gospel, we see here at the end of verse 1, the word of life. And so this is a deep understanding of Jesus' nature as eternal and as creator. And so we see in Genesis 1 that God spoke creation into existence. God spoke the world and everything into existence. And in the Genesis account, it said here, we see it says, you know, God spoke, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be the animals, and so on. And so it's this other part here in Genesis 1:26 that I find interesting when John refers to Jesus as the Word. It says here in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every living thing. And so John, I think, has come rightly to comprehend Jesus as Creator God, who from the beginning has created men to co-rule his creation. This is that part that I think that John was missing in his understanding of Jesus when he walked with him. It took until after the ascension for John to comprehend what Jesus was saying here, right? And so he goes on to describe that very creation voice, right? This voice that God spoke, that creation voice. He goes on to describe him as Jesus, right? This voice that had been manifest in Jesus, right? No longer a spoken word, but a person who's been revealed as Creator God, and with whom, as he says here, that we can and must have fellowship with. So this is quite a contrast from a God who had appeared silent for 400 years, right? This was the God that John knew was in his own mind. God was silent for 400 years, but now he's been revealed as Jesus, as the Word, the manifestation of the voice that brought forth all life and invited mankind, right, to have dominion over, to co-rule with God in that way, except for the fall, right? And now Jesus has come to restore all of that, but not in a way that John or his brothers or the early disciples, later apostles, comprehended at the moment, right? But John is going to take us through his understanding post-crucifixion, post-ascension, to the reality of who Jesus is and what his message was. And so that is Jesus' character and nature have remained unchanged, right? So Jesus as creator and redeemer, he's created us to have fellowship with him. So he's not silent and he's not distant, right? He's present and available, and he's speaking to us today through his word. So I hope that's encouraging for you, and I'm looking forward to taking you through the rest. Have a blessed rest of your week.